And once we really break it down to that component where we're saying, hey, we're going to save you money because all of your colleagues and peers are going to be able to see this and use it before it exits sort of the company boundaries. Procurement, finance, leadership generally doesn't have a problem with that. They want to make sure that they get the most out of the investment they made in their capital assets. And we're just trying to make sure that, again, we get a couple more looks before it heads out the door.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP. And with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Gar. Gar, would you like to introduce yourself?
Absolutely. Thanks, Tom, for having me. My name's Gar Punnett. I'm the chief of staff here at Reaply.
Excellent. What's Reaply?
Yeah, great question. So Reaply right now is a growing startup focused on what I'd like to say is building the digital infrastructure to support the circular economy. I'm sure we can dive into all the buzzwords, but really, this is our goal as a company and as a growing software company is to help large enterprise clients scale their reuse of their existing fixed assets and their consumable assets as well. So that can mean anything from laptops to computers to office infrastructure like chairs and tables to some of our other clients that focus on manufacturing or pharmaceuticals, and that could encompass research equipment. It's really, I like to say that the platform that we're building is asset agnostic. It doesn't matter what is being put on our platform or which client we are working with. Our software is meant to gain better visibility and accessibility into the assets that you already own as an organization so that you're not procuring anything that you already own. So you're not double buying. You're making the most out of what you already own. And you're not, so that you're really not spending unneeded capital or needed capital on unneeded storage of these idle assets. And then really the crowning jewel of what we're going for is reducing the impact to the environment and really reducing the amount of materials and assets and stuff, frankly, that enters landfills and then has a negative impact on communities around the United States and around the world.
Nice. Lovely. Gar, before we get further into that, let's come back to what you said at the start about you guys being a startup. So I'm interested in that because you are working with the SAP IO startup foundry in out of New York. Tell me a little bit about that. How did you find out about that, and what's that doing for you, and what stage are you in as a startup?
Absolutely. So we are... we're in the growth stage. We're actually doing fairly well at the time that we're recording this. There's again a national and global pandemic happening. When it comes to being a startup in this environment right now, we're growing. And so that's fairly impressive. And I kind of like to toot our own horn and remind our team that we are dealing with unprecedented circumstances, or at least not often seen circumstances when it comes to our economy and when it comes to actually people working in the physical spaces that we usually see them in, the workspaces. We're growing. So we actually recently doubled in size, which is great.
Nice.
So that's very impressive from just the amount of talent that we're bringing onto the team. And we actually started working with SAP Foundry coming off of essentially a recommendation of a current project that we're working on. We had heard about it through work that we're doing with the city of Chicago. And we thought, oh, this would be a great opportunity to really potentially partner and explore with SAP how our solution can help current SAP enterprise clients in terms of gaining better visibility and accessibility to the assets that they have in those own client companies and in SAP's own client companies. And then also how maybe we can partner together in expanding SAP's offerings to the organizations that we're engaging with. And so the partnership is really just us exploring what does this mean in terms of scaling reuse for SAP's client base. And we think that there's a significant amount of waste that happens across enterprises. And you know, some of the totals coming out of innovative thought leaders like the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, which is pushing circular economy thought leadership, is that across the world and across the United States, there is around $630 billion worth of underutilized assets. And we think that we can carve out our niche and continue to grow that that use case and that value in terms of reclaiming those assets, getting those to actual use so that we can make those assets more productive, and then also make sure that we're saving money in the short run as well and in long term, where these organizations that partner with us have the opportunity to save money by just realizing that all of the stuff in the back room and on the shelf and in the warehouse actually has a purpose, and that you can trade that with your colleagues to get the most out of it.
Nice. Now, for anyone who is new to the podcast, we've talked about circular economy on a couple of times before, but for anyone who's new, could you just give us a brief outline of what you think a circular economy is?
Absolutely. To give a little bit of my background, I kind of skipped that in the beginning. So my whole focus was and traditionally has been focusing on how technology can scale the circular economy. So in my graduate research, I focused on actually the recycling economy. So how do we use technology to scale the United States domestic recycling scheme? All of my research was done post China's national sword policy, which I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but China's national sword policy essentially said, we're closing the borders. China was closing the borders on their recycling input. And that sort of threw the rest of the world for a loop. And it forced the United States to really immediately start to try to understand recycling when it comes to all of the output that we had in the United States. So everything that we were sending outside of our own borders, now we have to now put into landfill. And this was a huge problem. And so my whole journey into circular economy started with that, and really trying to see how does technology allow for a better understanding of the problem, and therefore more solutions around actually making commodity markets out of these recycling products. So where that sort of gets factored into my work currently with the circular economy is the whole idea around a circular economy is that we're no longer extracting resources out of our environment and out of our sort of biosphere to make things that we as consumers use and then dispose of. So it's the circular economy is getting rid of that take out of the environment, that make into something, use it, and then dispose of it. And it's making a more a looped process. Now, again, there's ongoing debates on whether something can actually ever be fully circular. So really, the whole goal of the circular economy is to progress towards a future where we've got a more efficient recycling, reuse, remanufacturing, refurbishing type economy, where everything's getting the highest amount of use possible before it gets broken down and turned into its materials again, but ultimately not put back in the ground, put towards another use. Whether that's a manufacturing input or some sort of upcycled or downcycled product or good.
We'll be right back.
Elevate your brand with the Sustainable Supply Chain Podcast, the exclusive voice in supply chain sustainability. Last year, this podcast's episode were downloaded 113,000 times by senior executives across the world, with listeners concentrated in the EU, North America, and Asia. Become a sponsor. Lead the conversation. Contact me for sponsorship opportunities and turn downloads into dialogues. Act today. Influence the future.
Nice. Lovely. Well put. Thank you.
Yeah.
Far better than I could have ever explained it.
Good. Excellent. Well, that's why I'm here.
So how is Reaply helping with that?
Excellent question. We're tackling that in a couple ways. So we, our flagship product is called our Asset Exchange Manager, AXM for short. And our Asset Exchange Manager, again, is focused on scaling reuse in our large enterprise clients. So what that means is, very simply, we have created technology that allows, at scale, colleagues and peers to interact with one another and trade things that might be of use, assets that might be of use to one another, while also an overarching admin of this type of program and this platform can see the impact in real time. So you and I might have a piece of research equipment, and we're two scientists, we're two researchers, and we like to talk about our research, but we never really talk about the fact that I've got two machines in my lab that I don't use, and you just went to your procurement team and asked for those two same machines, and we never talk about it. Mm. And so this is solving the problem of really breaking down departmental silos across these large organizations to make sure that those conversations happen a little more friction, less. And the whole goal then is, if we increase the sharing and we increase the reuse of these assets, that the savings happen automatically. You no longer have to go to your procurement team. They no longer have to go to finance. And the whole process can save a little bit of money as well as save a little bit of impact, because the machines that I have are perfectly fine. They're 1 year old. I only used them for one trial run of something. But now you get to use them and make sure that the life cycle of that asset gets expanded. Part of what Reaply is now doing is not only we connecting colleagues to one another, but I like to say that we're now connecting peers in an industry. So as a digital platform, we're now connecting the dots so that we as scientists at one organization can actually now connect to a separate entire organization and have conversations around the same asset that we're looking to procure, but just skipping the procurement team or the finance team of our organization. So now, if you're a partner with Reaply and you've got our software trading assets at your individual organization, you can now see at an entire separate organization that a scientist, not unlike myself, has an asset that I need, and now I can interact with them and we help you procure that asset from another organization. And it's a used asset, but it's perfectly good. And that, again, helps scale the reuse and now starts to really bring in a network effect where we are connecting multiple organizations to one another so that really the barriers of sharing and reuse get diminished. And some of those barriers include time latency. So really when I have something, am I being efficiently connected to someone when they want it in the moment that they want it? We are solving almost a geographic barrier, really, by connecting local organizations to one another. Mm-hmm. So making sure that in Chicago, we connect all of the academic universities. So all the universities and our academic clients, how can we connect them to one another so that they can share procurement resources and share these assets? So we're keeping it local, which is, you know, probably a 5 to 25 mile barrier or perimeter around a lot of these academic organizations. But we're really then solving the mechanical issue. There's really no technology that allows a user like myself, a scientist, to trade something with someone at another organization. The current processes for that would involve a lot of paperwork, would involve a lot of connecting of financial systems. And so what we're trying to solve is that when these two scientists want to engage in a reuse opportunity, an opportunity that can reduce the impact on the environment, we want to make that as seamless as possible. And so when they interact with one another, all of the paperwork, all of the connections have been taken care of on the back end, so that when I, as a scientist, use my credit card or my procurement card to buy that piece of machinery from another scientist at another organization, it's already taken care of. So we're trying to make reuse as simple as an Amazon purchase. And that we think is the future for really scaling the circular economy.
Nice. Nice. Just from a practical perspective, I know that in organizations and larger organizations, there's usually lots of steps you have to go through to procure something, you know, to your point, through a procurement organization or finance or whatever. How do those organizations handle someone like Reaply being there and taking out part of their processes? Or, I mean, there's got to be some kind of ramifications. It has to be presumably done with the agreement of the finance and or procurement organizations.
It absolutely is. So part of when we're, frankly, selling Reaply to an organization, we get a handful of stakeholders that are involved. So that might be procurement, that might be finance. We often are talking to the sustainability leaders of that organization, but as well as the sort of facilities managers, and really getting them all in the same conversation and on the same page of why this would be helpful. How does this solve the problem of surplus? You know, we often are talking to surplus stakeholders as well, and we hear quite often that surplus as an entity of an organization, as a department of an organization, we hear often that it's a black hole, and that when something goes to surplus, it often is then sold for dimes on the dollar, maybe, in a liquidation process. So when something goes to surplus, there's very little recovery of that investment internally. Often it's sold through a liquidation process. So when you give something to surplus, it's likely going to leave the organization. So our whole goal is to recover that value and make sure that the value is maintained as much as possible internal to the organization. And so when we're working with a surplus department, a lot of their goals are around investment recovery. So circular economy can really be seen as investment recovery. It can be seen as the surplus department. Like, there are a lot of objectives that are already baked into the organization to recover the value of these assets. But again, when we engage with a surplus department, we're saying, hey, we don't want to interrupt the normal processes here. We just want to make sure that by using our system, your company's getting two or three extra looks at what the value of an asset might be before it leaves an organization. And once we really break it down to that component where we're saying, hey, we're going to save you money because all of your colleagues and peers are going to be able to see this and use it before it exits sort of the company boundaries, procurement, finance, leadership generally doesn't have a problem with that. They want to make sure that they get the most out of the investment they made in their capital assets. And we're just trying to make sure that, again, we get a couple more looks before it heads out the door.
Okay. And who are you selling to within organizations? Who's your customer in an organization?
That always varies. And that's been sort of an honest challenge for us is we've been learning. I mean, we really started thinking that this could be a grassroots effort almost, where we were going to the managers and the directors and saying, hey, this could really help your department. This could help your colleagues' departments. But what's really interesting about that is when we would begin our engagements on almost a director level, we'd see significant engagement with everybody that was on sort of within their department. But expanding outside of those departmental boundaries was a real challenge, because then now you're dealing with other directors who don't really understand the priority here on this. And so really what we've just lately within the last year decided to do is just go straight up the food chain and talk to the heads of procurement, the heads of finance, the heads of sustainability, the heads of operations, that includes facilities and surplus. And all of those stakeholders typically are in the conversation. And that's just the reality. It creates maybe a little bit of a longer lead cycle and sale generation cycle, but the impact that we're going for and the nature of our platform needs to be almost comprehensive and needs to be thought of as a solution to scale this across many departments so that the maximum amount of savings and impact can actually take place.
And if I'm an employee in one of these organizations, how do I become aware that Reaply exists? That if I want to get a new widget, that there's this marketplace or platform for me to look on before I go over to Amazon or whatever?
Great question. This is where I'm sort of stumbling here because I keep naming the challenges that we have, but I want to just highlight that again, we're doing some great work, but these are the challenges that we deal with all the time.
Sure.
I have an answer for this because we deal with this on every organization that we onboard and that we partner with. We go from being a B2B company where we are selling our solution to an organization. And once they sort of sign the paperwork, we immediately go to a B2C where our offering has to be using our marketing arm and our customer success department to now go and do the outreach to the individual colleagues and peers and users that would be using the platform. And so that is really the challenge. And so we do this in a couple of ways where when we onboard with a company, we're making sure that we're throwing now sort of digital parties, or we're now there on site, or we've almost empowered the stakeholders to really know how we can do this without Reaply being there in person. It then goes quickly into how do we spread the word? So having a lot of features around in-app messaging so that people can message one another and start to spread the word through our platform. We're replacing often listservs, which people don't really enjoy. So they don't like getting the reply all messages. They don't like that filling their inbox. This is an opportunity for users to engage in a new platform that streamlines that whole process. So there's not a whole lot of people holding on to the old technology of a listserv. And then also we've got really gamification features where we're trying to make this an enjoyable user experience where when you sign on to Reaply, you're already using your existing credentials as a company. So we work with a single sign-on,
nice.
Whatever that process might be at the organization. So you're using your existing credentials, you sign on to Reaply. And when you sign on, you already see that, I've got three or four colleagues that are have some significant points in the leaderboard. And so they might see in the leaderboard that Susan down the hall actually has racked up 50 points by finally finding a use for the extra desk that she had in her office for whatever reason, but could get it. Nobody ever really would take it because she wasn't talking to the right person at the right time. And when she signed on to Reaply, well, look what happened. She actually got rid of it in the first week. And so a lot of that then gets recorded in the gamification feature. And then we do monthly giveaways. So not only did Susan get rid of the desk in her office, but now she actually received a $50 gift card to the local restaurant or whatever it might be, because we work with the organization too to make sure that this is an exciting, innovative process around getting new users and then really making sure that those users understand the potential of what this could mean to their day-to-day and how to procure these assets without going through procurement. And as I said before, but these organizations are happy to supply a round of gift cards every month because the organizational benefits far outweigh really than any sort of gift cards that might be given out in terms of really scaling reuse and the savings that can come from scaling reuse.
Sure, and probably helps a little bit with employee retention as well if they're feeling good about making better use of assets and helping the company be more sustainable.
You're absolutely right. I've got a little bit of an anecdote for that. We did in the first week at the University of Chicago for our engagement there, we got rid of, and through a reuse, not disposition, not sent to landfill, we got around $500,000 worth of assets reclaimed in the first week.
Wow.
And the lab manager at the time who was really helping us do this, she came to us with like these three labs and she said, hey, I've got all of these assets and I need help getting rid of them. The typical process might have been sort of a scavenging process where they put up a flyer, the feeding frenzy takes place, and then whatever's left typically would just be put in the trash. Well, now we've set up a more democratic process where people can sign up to Reaply. They can shop online. They can come with their ticket. They can get the item. They can get whatever they need and what they purchased. And it was a much more also equal process in that everybody that was signing up to Reaply across the campus could actually take place. Now, where this gets to, you know, almost an employee retention standpoint, or frankly, a point of pride, is she got to come back to us and say, hey, I can actually put this on my resume now that I helped save my organization $500,000 this year on reusing assets through Reaply. And that is now a data point that I can now see in Reaply's platform that supports my more sustainable efforts to be a better sort of lab manager. So that's the simple wins almost too, that we're trying to make sure that people understand when everyone's looking around, trying to figure out how they can impact the world positively.
Yep.
There's a lot going on right now. And I think this is almost that simple case where if someone can say, hey, I just actually helped save my organization money, I helped divert things from landfill. Those are some quick wins that Reaply is happy to keep scaling across any organization.
Nice. I guess one of the last questions I have is, and you alluded to it, is about reporting features for companies that sign up. How do they get reports on, to your point, money saved, stuff diverted from landfill, maybe carbon or something like that, if there's that kind of reporting in it as well? What kind of reports are you putting out there? And do you have an overall one for the company itself, for Reaply, to say, amongst all our customers this year, we did X?
Excellent question. Yes. So every company is supported with four real-time metrics. So one of them is how many transactions are taking place.
Okay.
So that's the volume of transactions. How much money is that saving the organization? And then how much waste is diverted from landfill? So we do we base that on a weight metric. So that's something that the user generates when they almost create the post to get this shared. They're instructed to approximate the weight of the item.
Okay.
We haven't quite done a CO2 type equivalency or any other sort of greenhouse gas equivalency, mostly because that's still kind of the holy grail in general of a sort of scaled system, is how do you equate fixed assets or just random things to their carbon equivalency at scale. But we're still working on it. That's going to come in part, I think, from really incentivizing and educating our users on how to break down an asset. If we can help them better understand this thing that they're posting that they said was a table is roughly made up of what? And we can maybe help instruct them and say, hey, I think this is roughly made out of 50% of a wood composite, 50% some type of metal alloy. And then we can do on the back end, again, a rough estimation of what that would look like from a carbon footprint. So we're still working on that. We've done some research into that. And then sort of the last metric too is we provide each organization with a breakdown of departments and asset category types that are moving through their organization.
Okay.
So they might see, we actually have furniture, a high amount of furniture that's available for reuse, but it's not going anywhere. Why is that? I know that I'm hearing a couple departments request new office chairs. Well, it appears as though there's 10 office chairs right here. Why aren't those being connected? And so we provide those metrics so that anybody who's from an administrative perspective, who's seeing the movement of these materials and these goods through these organizations, they can start to connect the dots on how to make sure that this is scaling appropriately and that reuse is taking place across the organization. And then from there, we break down, again, all sort of down the asset type. So whether that's the research equipment or whether that's whatever it is, they can see and almost piece together and create a solution internally around how do we increase the scale of our impact in a certain category. To date, and I should have gotten this from my marketing team, and I'm so apologetic that I can't announce anything on this podcast, but I don't have any numbers on what we've done to date. Why I bring that up is in line with connecting similar organizations to one another, we are also scaling, again, a more circular aspect to this, where there might be an organization, two peer organizations that have equally decided, we don't need this, these computers, we don't need these chairs, we don't need these desks. And so as Reaply, we don't want it just sitting on the platform anymore. We want to connect those assets to their next life cycle. So a lot of our organizations have typical depreciation cycles where they might be going through assets every 5 to 7 years. Well, we know a lot of nonprofits. We know a lot of high school programs, a lot of public school programs that would love to get potentially new chairs, new computers, new desks, whatever that is. And when I say new, it might be 5 years old, but that's still better than maybe the 10-year-old computer that someone's working on. Sure. And so that's where we've started to connect what we call reuse enabler organizations, where we connect these organizations into the greater ecosystem where they can now take on and either purchase or receive as a donation these items directly from these organizations. And that's a process that we're enabling, because essentially when we're at an organization, we give permission to every asset that comes through that organization that says, if it's circulating for 45 days, 90 days in an organization and nobody wants it, it's a pretty good indicator that it doesn't really have any value at the organization anymore and it should be put to better use somewhere else. So that might be selling it, but that also, again, might be donating it to the local organization that's a part of Reaply that's looking to take these assets off these organizations' hands and put it to further use in the community.
Nice. Very nice. So we're well over the 20-minute mark. In fact, we're a lot closer to the 30-minute mark.
Thank you. Sorry, I tend to be, go a little long.
That's fine, Gary. You're fine. You're fine. You're passionate about your topic, and that's always great. That makes it more interesting to listen to. So hopefully the listeners are getting a lot out of this. The second last question I ask on every podcast, which usually happens 10 minutes ago, is there any question I've not asked that you think I should have? Is there any points we've not brought up that you think people should be aware of?
Yes. I'm obsessed with how are we connecting these dots from a supply chain perspective and from a logistics standpoint. And so part of our next stage of our platform is how are we enabling the services of the circular economy to make, again, this circular nature of driving material flows and asset flows all that more efficient. And, I think I mentioned it earlier that we're keeping these networks kind of local. We're keeping them sort of the 5 to 25 mile range right now. Yeah. But we really want to be able to be the one-stop platform for all the services that also go into making a local economy more circular. So when it comes to the logistics and the supply chain aspect, when someone's saying, hey, I want to get rid of this expensive piece of research equipment, what we're looking at and what I'd love for people to reach out to me about is, what sort of ideas do they have on how we can enable last mile logistics? How do we make sure that there's a more efficient system from getting one piece of research equipment across town so that it can be used and there's less impact around getting that from one place to another? I think there's a lot for people to focus on in the supply chain and logistics around how a circular economy will actually function. And I'm sure your audience will be very interested in that. And I would love to hear from people who are willing to reach out.
Lovely. Superb. So that leads me nicely into the last question, which is, if people want to know more about GAR or about Reaply or any of the conversation that we had today, where would you have me direct them?
Excellent. You can go to our website at www.reaply, spelled R-H-E-A-P-L-Y.com. There will be an info at Reaply email available. You can reach out to that. That will likely go still right to my inbox as well. And then anybody else who might find interest or relevance in what you'd want to learn more about or have questions about, we'll answer that email as well. And so feel free to reach out. Also, we're very active in on any of our social channels. So please subscribe to our newsletter on LinkedIn. We've got a great sustainability newsletter that you can find that our founder, Dr. Gary Cooper, writes every month. and along with the team. And so we want more people to be engaged with the circular economy. And so if you have any questions, feel free to reach out. You can also reach out to me personally on LinkedIn. And Gar Punnett, spelled GARRPUNNETT, as you'll see in this podcast. So please reach out and I will do my best to get back to you. But I love talking about this, as you could probably tell at this point.
You hide it well.
Yeah, exactly. I do my best.
Superb. Gar, that's been brilliant. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Tom. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital-supply-chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.